Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham. Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? Who's there? What's going on?
You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
I don't.
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Do or die for Bama. Must win to make the NCAA tournament. Sexton got it! He got it! He got it! Roll Tide! They did it!
A lot of assumptions being made there by old Joe Tessitore. Welcome back, hour number two. Well, I'm not even going to explain it. We just got on 15 minutes ago after the post game of the Alabama game. But that's what it sounded like on the SEC Network for those of you that are bumping around in your car and didn't get to see the game and didn't hear the Chris Stewart call. That's what it was like on television. Joining us now to talk about that game and mostly that game and tomorrow's game certainly is our good friend Matt Scalise from AL.com. Matt, welcome in. How are you, man?
Doing well, Tom.
Did you hear Alabama won? I don't know if you heard that earlier.
I'm not sure. Yeah, we had a few TVs turned to the game in the office here at AL.com.
Tessitore is such an Alabama homer. I mean, God love him, but I mean, he didn't sound like Chris Stewart, but he was so much more subdued. Whenever A&M, I don't think he's like buying A&M's in the SEC yet. You know what I mean? Whenever A&M did something, he was a little more subdued, and then whenever Alabama did something, he was just so much more fired up and. He dropped a bunch of Roll Tides out there. I didn't hear any giggums, you know what I mean? But he dropped a bunch of Roll Tides out there.
I think some of it is there was more at stake for Alabama, and that's part of what made it more exciting that the outcome was what it was. You know, I think a lot of people at this point look at Texas A&M as being comfortably in, and Alabama needed to win this game. I mean, I think I saw a stat that ESPN's projecting that Alabama's odds of making the tournament were 99% if they won the game and 1% if they lost the game. So it really could have meant everything but as far as Alabama's postseason hopes. And on top of it, that the fact that the game ends not just on a buzzer beater but by the guy that, you know, is kind of the most exciting player on the team, one of the most exciting players in the SEC, I think ESPN definitely couldn't have asked for a better ending to that game and a better result maybe. But we'll see, you know. I would say right now, for me, I wouldn't feel very comfortable if I'm Alabama about my tournament fate. I still think they need to go into tomorrow's game against Auburn, assuming that they need to win that game to feel good about their shot at making the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you see, that's the little dirty lie in that BPI, is that 99% number, that's if they don't play tomorrow. You know what I mean? That's if they don't have another. I mean, if it was over now, because going into the A&M game, they were 44% on that BPI deal. If they lost the A&M game, that dropped to 1%. If they win the A&M, it goes to 99%. But what does it go to if they get beat tomorrow by Auburn? It might go back to 51%. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think I'm not ready to say they need to. I think, what did Tess say? I think he's
do or die for Bama. Must win to make the NCAA tournament.
Well, must win to not be eliminated from the NCAA tournament. I don't think you say must win to be in the NCAA tournament, because I'm with you. I think if you lose that game tomorrow, you're back firmly right on the middle of that bubble.
I think they would be sweating it out if they lose tomorrow, and I think they'll need things to fall just the right way. You know, Auburn's a good team, and nobody's going to knock Alabama for losing in a situation like that. But again, I think they have a big opportunity tomorrow. I don't think they played, you know, 40 minutes of great basketball today.
No.
But I think there were moments in the game today where they showed a lot of promise, especially offensively, after a pretty slow start to the game on that side. So I think Alabama can play defensively well enough to hold Auburn down within striking distance. The question is, can they get enough consistent offense going tomorrow? And maybe playing the way they did today, you know, kind of got them warmed up a little bit. I think that's what you have to hope for if you're an Alabama fan, is that Alabama got into some kind of groove today that may help them if they can kind of keep it going tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this Tide team. I mean, they had gotten up 12, you know, with 13 minutes to go in the game, and it felt like it was going to be – they were going to coast in, and that, you know, A&M knew that they're in the tournament, and they're you know, at that point in time, Alabama was playing with a much bigger sense of urgency. But then eight straight trips down the floor, and they don't come up with a point. They just cannot do that. It happened again. It was like 7 or 8 minutes of game time, and it's just – it's mind-boggling – that happens to them, and it seems to be something that has happened in the losses. They typically don't win that game, but it seems to be something that has happened to them in those losses where they don't go on a score sheet for, like, you know, 6 or 7 minute windows.
I think it cascades a little bit too, and it's somewhat to do with, I think, the personality of the team. And it's not just the young guys either. I think this is a team that, if you want to define the character of this team, they can get charged up, they can get excited and play some exciting basketball, but they also, I think, get easily frustrated if things aren't going their way, and they start throwing up bad shots, and they start making bad decisions on the offensive end of the floor and forcing things, and you see that kind of state on itself in those long, dry stretches offensively for Alabama. So they're not going to be able to afford one of those tomorrow against Auburn, or at least not too many of them. I think there's every reason to believe that both of those teams going into tomorrow are going to be very motivated to play good basketball. So I think it's setting up well if you're a basketball fan to watch that first game of the day tomorrow, because they're both going to feel like a lot to say. Auburn knows they're comfortably in the NCAA tournament. They don't want to get beat by Alabama in the conference tournament. They don't want to go out like that. So there's a ton on the line in that game. That's going to be pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, and I don't know what the difference is between being a 2 seed and being a 3 seed. I don't know that it would be that hugely significant for Auburn, but I do think there's a difference as to where you go. And, you know, being a 3 seed in Nashville, I think, would be more favorable for them than being a 3 seed in Dallas, let's say, or going to Boise or something like crazy like that. So I think that's a little bit what's on the line for Auburn as well. They go out in the first, you know, in their first game, which would be the third round. They go one and done in the tournament, don't play over the weekend, and they're in jeopardy. They won't fall out of the three hole, but, you know, where they go might not be as favorable.
For sure, and this is a year where I think you're hoping you can get some fans out, that you've got everybody excited about your return to the tournament, and you got opportunities like Nashville or even Charlotte that I think are definitely within a reasonable driving range for Auburn fans. So there's a lot at stake as far as that goes. I think you hope, if you're Auburn, that this trip to the NCAA tournament, it already feels special, but if you can have a good contingency of fans there, if you can give them a reasonable opportunity to go and visit, that's how you build a basketball fan base for the future. That's how you get your fan base excited about basketball every year, which is really what this program has needed more than anything. It's great that Auburn got a regular season SEC title this year. It's great that you know, fans got to experience what it's like to be good at college basketball. But I think for the long-term future of the program, what you want is to give fans that taste of what it's like in March to be playing in the NCAA tournament. That is how you win college basketball fans for life. And neither of our schools in the state here have done much of that, have given their fans much of a taste of it. This is a huge opportunity for Auburn this year. And I think, you know, short of winning a national championship or just advancing as far as they can, the biggest thing they can accomplish this year is to give their fans a taste of what it's like to be part of the NCAA tournament every year, and have them want that every year, have them want that to be a regular part of being an Auburn fan.
And I used to say this all the time, you know, covering the ACC, when, you know, you'd see teams kind of slow play it that were already going to be a 1 seed, or whether it was at Big 12 and it was Kansas or something like that, where you saw them not play inspired, even Kentucky maybe once in a while. when they knew they were going to be a one seed in the big tournament, and they really weren't excited about playing three games, you know, in their conference tournament. But, you know, championships are championships. You know what I mean? And the value of winning an SEC championship, regardless of whether or not it impacts your seeding in the big dance, it's still a championship. And then for Auburn, it's been a long time. I mean, this isn't like you win these things all the time and it's only one more. You know, so I think that there's a huge value there to go out there and try to win an ACC SEC championship. There's a ring involved. I mean, that's a real thing. They can't take that away. And, you know, you're just close. You know, play the three games, win the championship.
And I think there's added motivation on top of it for that, that after everything Auburn did, I think there was a little bit of a sense of disappointment and deflation to you finish the season and – you know, you have to share the conference title, the regular season conference title with Tennessee. Bruce Pearl doesn't get any of the SEC Head Coach of the Year award. You know, there's a widespread feeling like Auburn's players were disrespected on the all-SEC teams that you're seeing out there. These are minor individual awards for the most part, but I think it didn't end with as much emphasis on Auburn's dominance as Auburn fans kind of felt like they deserved. And so this will be an opportunity, I think, to assert that, yes, Auburn was the best team in the SEC this year. This is an opportunity to prove that, and I think there's plenty of motivation well outside of how it affects you in the NCAA tournament to for Auburn to really bring a lot of heat into this game.
Matt Scalise with us from AL.com. Oh, yeah, I mean, the snubs, to me, are definite motivation, and you know, you can say what you want about, you know, whether or not it's a big deal to be all SEC, but the Coach of the Year thing is a pretty big deal. And that was both from the AP and the coaches that snubbed Bruce Pearl. And it was almost to be expected. He just, from a coach's standpoint, I just know for a fact that you go all the way back to the Iowa-Illinois thing and back in the 80s. Then, of course, the Tennessee deal. And then this year with that inference that there still could be some blood on his hands that people don't know. And we had one guy tell us from Missouri that, hey, you know, he's still responsible for Chuck Person. That was his number one assistant. Even if he didn't do anything, you're responsible for the people that you hire. You can't reward a guy like that with that. And you know, other coaches, some of it's envy, you know, the TV work he did. Other coaches are just not huge Bruce Pearl fans, and it was almost to be expected. And you could sense that he's hurt and that the team feels snubbed. They could go scorched earth now.
And I think Bruce Pearl probably isn't going to bring up the coaching award to his team. He didn't bring it up on Twitter, but he did put a lot of emphasis on his players not getting voted for more of the all-SEC honors. And he's I think, bringing it up for his players to see. I think he wants them to feel like they're disrespected and snubbed, and he wants them to keep that energy and that fire going through the conference tournament, through the NCAA tournament. But, yeah, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Tom, that, you know, what was going to happen with the Coach of the Year award stuff. And, you know, I guess I felt at the time like the voters weren't really going to be left any choice but to pick Bruce Pearl. And I think what ended up happening down the stretch was Tennessee and Rick Barnes, you know, finishing tied with Auburn, gave them an out. And right. I think once they had a reasonable option other than Bruce Pearl, that there are a lot of coaches and a lot of media voters that were going to vote against Bruce Pearl because they don't like him for various reasons. You know, I can't really speak to that on the media side because I've only ever had positive experiences with Bruce. And, you know, I think he's a very entertaining guy to watch. But I also haven't worked with him very closely, so I don't know as much as some of these other voters, I guess. But the coaches, I think, really says a lot. I think the fact that the SEC coaches didn't vote for the guy that more than anybody else beat all of them this season, I think says a lot. I think there's clearly, as you said, some resentment towards them. I think there's probably a sense that a guy who got this job while under a show cause, you can draw your own conclusions about how professionals would feel about somebody who joined their sort of fraternity under those circumstances. But I think there's probably a little bit of a sense of, you know, as much as coaches like to help each other out and big each other up and treat each other like friends and like a members of a fraternity, I think they also like to isolate guys and ostracize guys who don't sort of conform to you know, the unspoken rules or even the spoken rules of it. And Bruce Pearl seems to be a guy that ruffles a lot of feathers amongst his fellow coaches.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we say fraternity. It could be like, you know, caddy girls in a sorority, too. Not to disparage women on National Women's Day, but, I mean, deep down inside, there's a lot of cattiness among coaches. And I'm serious, man, because I've talked to guys back when he first came to Knoxville. There were people still were bringing up 1986, you know, the fact that he, you know, recorded a kid and blew in Illinois and another coach, assistant coach, in a recruiting battle and turned the tapes over to, you know, did it nefariously and turned the tapes over to the NCAA and stuff like that. And that's like, you know, with these coaches, they can all talk all they want about how, you know, they want it to be a clean business. But, man, you blow in another coach and you record a kid to blow in another coach, that's like a cardinal sin with these guys.
Yeah, you look at that and you look at, you know, the way things end at Tennessee.
You
look at what happened before this season started at Auburn. He's definitely a guy that's got more than a couple of red flags on him. There are other coaches that doesn't really seem to matter about. You know, John Calipari, you don't really hear too many coaches say bad things about him right now, and he's certainly, almost everywhere he's been, gotten into some form of trouble. So I think there's, it goes beyond, I think, just his personal history, and I think it's got to have something to do with, you know, personal relationship, kind of personality issues. You know, but look, speaking for myself, I think Bruce Pearl's been really good for basketball and state. I think he's a big personality who promotes his team and promotes his sport really well. And I think he's clearly, the results are clear, that he has brought Auburn basketball to a new level. And whether they stay there year to year will be very interesting to see going forward. But there's no question for this year, he has gotten them to a place that I don't think very many of us ever thought we'd see Auburn basketball, at least not in the near future.
Yeah, I'm a big Bruce Pearl fan. I mean, I love the guy for the sport and what he brings. I just hope that he can come through this whole deal unscathed, because I just think that he's a great quote. He's great. The kids love him. The student body loves him, and I'd hate to see it, you know, come unraveling for him. I've liked the guy. I mean, I liked him since I first met him, you know, in Tennessee, and had opportunity to sit with him several times at remotes and all that kind of stuff back in the day. Matt Scalise with us. All right, finally, you know, let's get back to the court. The game tomorrow, Auburn's been sitting for pretty near a week, right? It'll be, what, 6 days since they played. You say, well, that's good. They're rested and so on. And Alabama played this afternoon. There's another theory that, you know what, getting lathered up isn't a bad thing. Do you think that Alabama carries any momentum off of today into tomorrow, and that there's any rust with Auburn? Or do you think the advantage in that side – Auburn has an advantage because they're a better basketball team, but – do you think the advantage of rest is better than the advantage of playing a game and being loose and you know the arena now and all those other types of things?
I think that if this was happening later in the tournament, I would give Auburn more of an advantage about it. I think, look, Auburn certainly needed to be as rested as possible. They're not a deep roster right now, and they need fresh legs going into a game. But I think having one game under your belt and playing again the next day, as I've often been told by coaches, you know, these are 18-year-old kids. They don't get tired like me and you. They could go and play another one probably tonight if they need to.
Right.
But I think Alabama can only view it as a good thing for them that they got this game under their belt and they got, you know, some bad shots out of their system before they go into the game with Auburn. They got, as you said, they got a feel for the rims, a feel for the arena a little bit. That doesn't necessarily mean it gives them an advantage over Auburn. I don't think it necessarily makes them a favorite to win this game, but I think it's a good thing for Alabama to go into this game with today's game under their belt in that way, and they felt those emotions. They felt what it's like to play out there on that floor. I think it's a good thing for Alabama, and frankly, I think it's probably not a bad thing for Auburn that they didn't have to play today, because it's a team that, with their depth issues right now, needs to be well rested. They definitely don't want to get into any injury situations. So both teams really, I think, are in positions they would probably like to be in going into this game.
All right, my contract says I have to say a football thing, so I'm just going to say this. We now know why Jalen Hurts cut the dreads off, right? It must be because he had to take this picture wearing the Auburn jersey to settle up that bet he had with Chuck Barkley I don't. Have you guys gotten it up yet at AL.com? I mean, the picture of Jalen Hurts is out there now wearing an Auburn jersey. I mean, that's a pretty powerful image right there. I don't know if I've seen that before of a guy, still in school rocking one of those deals.
We do have it up on AL.com if you want to go look at it, but it's pretty weird. I would say it was a poorly calculated bet by Jalen, even if he thought he was going to win the game. Never right. bet to put on the jersey of your opponent while you're still in school. We see that in the NFL all the time, but I don't know if that image is going to fit too well with a lot of Alabama fans, for sure. But, you know, look, if you're going to do it, you do it with a guy like Charles Barkley because he's doing everything in a good-natured way, and everybody knows his feelings about the rivalry, and which is that, you know, he definitely doesn't take it too seriously. He has fun with it. And I think it's actually a pretty good sign that Jalen is kind of in this type of fun spirit about things right now. A few years ago, this is the kind of thing that Alabama fans, I think, would never have tolerated. I think right now they're a little bit less sensitive about it coming off the national championship game.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the thing. See, Jalen could have held his hand in front of the jersey with the national championship ring on there like that. And he could have said, well, you know, I'll take this. I'm wearing this, too, along with this Auburn jersey. I'm wearing this national championship ring. But I wonder how long he had it on. I lost a bet like that one time on a Browns-Steelers thing. I'm a big Browns fan, unfortunately. And I had to wear a Steelers jersey and hat and wave a terrible towel. And the image lasted for years online, but it was, but I literally, I swear to God, I had the hat. It was actually just the hat and the terrible towel. I had to swing a terrible towel and wear a Steeler hat. I literally had that thing on my head for no more than probably 20 seconds, and it came off because there was no time limit on the thing. But the image, you know, these images, they never go away.
As anybody could tell you who made a controversial choice at a Halloween party at some point in their life, Tom, you only have to wear that. You only have to wear that costume once, and it's going to stay with you for a long time.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm doing my show tomorrow from Baumhauer's in Hoover, and I'll be hitting the air as soon as the game is over, so I'll be there beforehand. So I'm just so stoked about that I'll be at lunchtime tomorrow. I'll be at Baumhauer's in Hoover with Alabama and Auburn on every single screen. I mean, do you think there's going to be some extended lunchtimes tomorrow around the state?
It'll be a good spot for it. I think that we get some, even in a year like this where there's more excitement than normal, I think Alabama versus Auburn in any sport, basketball, baseball, softball, it's always the peak for us at AL.com mm-hmm. anyway, and I think around the state really. So it's going to be a special occasion tomorrow, and I think it'll be pretty exciting no matter what. And I think both fan bases have to feel pretty good about where they're at going into the game too. So there will be excitement on both sides.
I just like that you guys don't put up any, you know, Iron Bowl of basketball stuff. You know, it's a rubber match. It'd be the rubber match, but no Iron Bowl of basketball stuff. I don't want to see that on AL.
I know. Cole Kublik coached it out of us.
Yes, yeah, it's good. He could beat him out of him. He could beat it out of him too if he wanted to. He could go that route. But I'm surprised that the guys that do SEC shorts or something like that didn't do some sort of a skit, you know, based around, you know, Iron Bowl of basketball and a guy getting pounded or something for saying.
You know,
it,
but, I may have to go peek into their the AL.com studios and see if they're up to anything. I know they don't usually work this time of year. They're a football season bunch. So they're probably up there. If I look up there, they're probably just pizza right now. But I can check and see, and I'll tweet something if I notice these guys are up to anything.
That'd be great. Maybe you can nudge them, say, hey, come out of your hibernation, will you? Do a little. We got you know, Alabama and Auburn, and both look like they're going to go to the tournament and are playing in the SEC tournament. Come on now, do a little something. It'd be funny. All right, man. Appreciate you as always.
Thanks, Tom.
Matt Scalise. All right, they've reached the half in St. Louis. Remember when I told you Georgia was getting hammered in that game? They were down 12-2 or something like that early on in that game, and it looked like they were just going to get blown out of the building, and the crowd is all, obviously, Missouri. It's a heavy Missouri crowd. Georgia came storming back, and at the half, Georgia has a 9-point lead. It's 33-24. You heard the guy. Remember the dude we had on from St. Louis? All he could talk about was Missouri, Kentucky, Missouri, Kentucky, Missouri, Kentucky. How big, you know, it would be to get Missouri, Kentucky tomorrow after Alabama, Auburn. I mean, can you imagine those first two games? Alabama, Auburn, Missouri, Kentucky. Alabama, Auburn, Missouri, Kentucky. By the way, tomorrow, Alabama, Auburn is on ESPN, not on the SEC network. But Missouri's going to have to do some, they're going to do a little sum-sum if that's going to happen. Michael Porter Jr. with 5 points in that first half in his first game back since 2 minutes into the season. All right, we'll get a break. When we come back, we have wide open lines the rest of the hour. So I know Wolverine Dan was there earlier at the beginning of the show. We didn't have a lot of time to get stuff in. I got a lot of stuff I haven't gotten to yet. But we have open lines if you want to get in. 866-485-9867. How fired up are you about this? Where are you watching the game tomorrow? Are you listening to the game on the ump tomorrow? Are you listening to the, I don't even know if there's an Auburn affiliate. If you're an Auburn fan, you're listening to the game there. Are you going to take an extended lunch? Are you not going to work? It is Friday, after all. You're going to get a case of the Friday flu tomorrow? Or do you really don't even care because it's basketball? And if that's the case, shame on you. We'll be back. Open lines, 866-485-9867. At 730, 103.9 The Ump.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. WUMP.
And might want to be socially active in terms of causes, charities.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility On Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-890-6013. 800-890-6013. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-890-6013.
A new state-of-the-art indoor shooting range is coming to Huntsville. Bullet and Barrel.
Offering 19 indoor climate-controlled lanes and a fully stocked store with firearms, accessories, and clothing.
Bullet and Barrel provides professional-friendly firearms training. Great for new and experienced shooters. Become Remember now on a special pre-grand opening rate. Bullet and Barrel on Lehman Ferry Road near the corner of Airport Road.
And online at bulletandbarrel.com.
Bullet and Barrel. Serious fun.
If you ever want to buy a house or a car, you're going to want to know your credit score. If there's a mistake on your credit reports, you could pay more in interest rates and fees than you have to. Where can you go online to quickly get your credit score and credit report for free? CreditKarma.com/radio. Check it whenever you like. It's free and there's no catch. Don't get an unwanted surprise about your credit score. Go to CreditKarma.com/radio. That's CreditKarma.com/radio.
Did you know you can spray Linex on just about anything that needs protection?
More than just like bed liners?
You got it. How about adding a non-slip grip to your axe? Or how about a park bench, a trailer, van liner, work truck, or motorcycle?
I never thought of that. You can spray something like this?
Virtually anything you can think of.
I thought you were just the best bed liner around. I had no idea.
Think outside the bed liner and Linex it. Call 256-721-1331 or stop by and see me. Susie at Linex of Huntsville on Research Park Boulevard.
As a parent, it's what you do.
You protect your children.
You teach them how to brush their teeth.
How to wash their hands.
To look both ways when crossing the street.
You take them to the doctor when they're sick.
And you vaccinate them.
And you vaccinate them.
And you vaccinate them.
I didn't know there was a vaccine for meningococcal meningitis, and my daughter died.
And my daughter died.
And my daughter died.
There wasn't a vaccine to protect against strain B meningococcal disease when my daughter died.
When my daughter died.
When my daughter died.
But now there is.
Just get the facts and vaccinate. It's the right thing to do.
Please visit nmaus.org.
A public service message from the National Meningitis Association. Our website, nmaus.org, has details about the two vaccines that protect preteens and teens. That's www.nmaus.org.
If you're looking for adventure, serving as a volunteer on the Mercy Ship in Africa is an adventure like no other. You'll be serving on the largest non-governmental hospital ship in the world, providing free care to some of the world's poorest people. Whether you're performing a surgery, cleaning the deck, or transporting a patient to a Hope Center to recover, every day you'll be making a difference in the lives of struggling people. Hard work? Definitely. Long hours? Oh yeah. In fact, you'll be pushed to your limits. Your heart will break with compassion for those you're serving. But every single day will be tremendously fulfilling. And in volunteering aboard the Mercy Ship, you will be transformed. Join our community of faith, serving as a volunteer with those whom Jesus called the least of these. Connect with us today at mercyships.org. That's mercyships.org. It's time to begin the adventure of a lifetime.
A good supply of sunshine this afternoon, but cold and breezy, the high 48. Another freeze tonight, clear with a low at 29. For tomorrow, a sunny day with a high at 59. Saturday, increasingly cloudy, the chance of a shower during the day. Rain and thunderstorms becoming likely Saturday night, the high 67. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Wipe your paws. It's time to enter the doghouse.
Casey Jones, he's better. Watch your speed. Trouble ahead. Trouble behind.
Grateful Dead in your throwback music today. 45 years ago today, Pigpen McKernan died at age 27. The other guys, they were all cokeheads and dropping acid and did whatever psychedelic drugs they did. And they lived, you know, till in their, you know, later in their 60s. McKernan wouldn't do the drugs with him. All he did was drink alcohol, and he got liver disease and died when he was 27. Crazy as that. All right. Wolverine Dan is back, and he leads us off in this segment. Wolverine Dan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Okay, Thomas. Let's not get too excited here, okay? Bama, are they, number one, are they ranked?
Are they ranked? No, they're not ranked. It was just an exciting game.
Is the team they beat, were they ranked?
No.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give you one side or the other side. That's the one side. Here's the other side. You got Michigan that beat a top 10 team two times in 3 weeks by 10 points each game. Okay? There's the difference right there, okay? I'm a contender. You're a pretender, all right? Bottom line is this. You're going to get one of done. You'll go maybe two. But, you don't want to match up on our team here, okay?
Because no, for Alabama, the thing is just to make the tournament. I mean, you know, they're just trying to get to make the tournament. I mean, that's the key there. I mean, they're playing. Look, there's different goals for different teams. Nobody's saying that Alabama's as good as Michigan. But, of course, the SEC is definitely better than the Big Ten. We know that because there's going to be eight SEC teams and only four Big Ten teams in the tournament. So the Big Ten's very top-heavy, but nobody's saying that Alabama is better than Michigan, but that was a very exciting game. I mean, you can't deny that that was an incredibly exciting game for a team that's on the brink of not even making the tournament. Don't take that away from the Alabama fans. Come on, don't take the rip away from them, guys.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, if you make the tournament, I got two takes. Number one, if you make the tournament, part of it's because of name Alabama in your football program. You're going to think I'm crazy, but that name holds a lot of weight.
No, it has nothing to do with it.
NCAA.
There's nothing to do with it.
The second thing is this. I can't believe on the Sports Illustrated, I got to look at it all day long today, they got a Michigan State player on the front cover while we beat them like our little sister. How come we don't have Michigan on the front cover?
Because they're a 2 seed and Michigan's a 4 seed in the tournament. Because everybody knows that Michigan State is you know, the prospects of Michigan State going further in the tournament are more so than Michigan. Even though Michigan won the Big Ten championship game or the Big Ten tournament, that Michigan State is, they're the highest-rated team right now out of the Big Ten.
You know what? I'll take my chances with my voice. I think.
By the way, think of it this way. I want you to think about Alabama this way, okay? Alabama basketball is like Michigan football. You know what I mean? If Michigan football wins like 9 or 10 games, you're going to have a parade, right? I mean, that's a big deal. You know, make a New Year's Day game or something like that. That would be a big deal. So for Alabama basketball to make it to the tournament, that would be like Michigan making it to the Chick-fil-A Bowl or something like that in football. You know what I mean? So think of it like that.
Okay. That's a pretty good analogy. Right. We're better at basketball as right now. We're better at basketball right now, than Alabama. Yeah. Right, football.
You took that well. I thought you were going to hang up on me. You took that pretty well. I like that.
No, it's the truth, Tom. It's the truth. Yeah. That's a good analogy. You know, we're better, you guys, at basketball. No doubt about it. You know that. But not in football, period.
Yeah. How come you didn't watch the Bertuzzi kid the other night playing against Boston? He looks pretty good, man. He's up with the big club now. Tyler Bertuzzi. He's the nephew of Todd Bertuzzi.
Yeah, well, is he big as this old man?
He's not as big, but he's gritty, and it's his uncle, and he's a more skillful player than Bertuzzi was. You know what I mean? He's gritty in front, but he's got good hands. He's got ability to score a little bit. Nice little player. I mean, I was impressed with him. They put him on the second line.
Did the Red Wings beat Boston? They lost.
Yeah, lost. Actually, Boston was up 5. It was a great hockey game. Boston was up 2 or 3 goals twice in the game, and Detroit came back and tied it late, and then it went to overtime, and Boston won in overtime 6-5. I can't believe you're not watching any hockey, man. It was on the NBC Sports Network.
By the time I get home, I got dinner going with my mama and take care of her, make sure she's happy. And then, you know, I ain't much left in the tank anymore, Tom. I got a lot of years doing this job, and it's starting to take its toll, brother.
Well, you know, how close are you to 65? Because you're pretty soon. You're about 58, I think, right? So you could.
Yeah, I'm about a month away from 59, so I'm really close to 60.
So you're pretty near 59, so you could stop working now and retire when you're 63. Because you got so many days built up, you could just kind of you could just stop now. And then retire in 3 or 4 years.
And then you know what I could do? I thought about it. I could be a professional remote chaser. Like come to all your remotes and drink beer and everything. What do you think?
That would be good, man. We need a remote slappy. You can come and hang out at the remotes anytime you want. You know that.
Remote slappy. I like that. Slappy happy.
That's an official title, remote slappy.
Well, I'm going to try to buck the theory of that Grateful Dead guy you're honoring today. See if I can. You know, and knock down a bunch of them, and maybe last longer than Brian. I doubled his age.
Yeah, don't get liver disease, though. That's the only thing you don't want to do is get liver disease.
Okay, I promise. All right, you know, I might get a little of that, Jim Harbaugh sickness, and it's starting to creep up in a little bit. I'm not happy with the guy.
Yeah, well, it's a big year for him next year. I think he's got more pressure on him than any coach in America next year because they can't jerk around.
I agree. If you don't show up, Tom, I think we need to put him on the hot seat.
Well, you got a quarterback now, I think, in Shea Patterson, so we'll see what happens.
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
All right. Appreciate you. Wolverine down. You like that? You were never the remote slappy. No, you were. You were the remote slappy for a minute, weren't you?
No, I was the road producer. I never really got to go into any remotes.
I thought you were. Were you the remote slappy for ZYP?
Yes.
Okay. Had this kid that thought being a remote tech was like a big deal, and it was his first job out of college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good kid. He's doing something in the business now. I mean, this was 7 or 8 or 9 years ago. Rick, what's his name? Ricky the remote slappy is what I called him, but I think it was Rick Reasoner. Anyway, first remote that he goes out on with me, right? He comes out, and we had a crew that would go out on these remotes, right? So I'm doing a remote in Nashville, and we had a guy, we had the engineer would come out, and we'd have, you know, the guy come out and set up all the stuff and everything. And then we had the tent, and then we had this remote slap that would come out there and bring everything out with the truck and all this stuff. So it was kind of a windy day. And he's like, okay, you know, I'm your remote technician. And he knew less about the gear than I did, you know what I mean? But I'm your remote technician. What do I do? I said, here, do this. Will you grab the top of the tent frame and keep it from blowing away? He's like, really? I said, yeah, I just want you to stand there on the side of the tent with your hand on the frame and keep it from blowing away. I said, you are is one step up over a cinder block, okay?
God.
That's what you are in this job.
Dropping some hammer.
Well, these young guys, you got to test them. You know.
How'd he take it?
I tested you. Right? I tested. No, he was okay. Yeah. Yeah, he did. It wasn't like that other guy. Remember the guy that I made cry? It wasn't like that guy.
That guy's
not doing anything now. I don't know what he's doing. But I mean, you know, that's you got to test these people when they're young, man. It's how you coach. It's how you parent. It's how you are. You got to test them. You got to test their mettle. See if they can handle a little bit. You know what I mean? A little bit of, you know. That'd be brutal a little bit.
I know. You got me a little bit. I know.
I got you early on, but now I respect you because you stood up and you did your job and you took it like a guy, like a dude. You understood that, you know, locker room talk and you responded well, you know, and that's good, and, you know.
Yeah, man, take your licks. This is all about the betterment of the show, trying to be a couple dudes. You got to see if you got a dude, you know what I mean? You hope the guy you're with is a dude, so you had to test me and see if I could be a dude. We're hanging out. It's been a year now.
I told the guy to do a 2-minute Daytona 500 highlight package. And he did a 3-minute and 40-second Daytona 500 highlight package. You know, I want highlights that are, you know, I don't want it to be too long. You want it to be kind of short and sweet. You know what I mean?
You'll run the baseline. Sexton gets it. 3 seconds. 2. Sexton at 1. For the win. It's gone! It's gone! It's gone! Colin Sexton made the floater. They'll review it. But oh, mercy! Colin Sexton may have saved the season for the Tide.
Now, see, if I asked you to give me that highlight, and you gave me the highlights starting with like 4 minutes to go in the game and carried it through halfway through the post game, then I'd say, T-Mac, all I want is the highlight. I want the last trip down the floor. Just give me the last trip down the floor, you know? And if I said that to you and you got down behind the console and cried, then I know I got a problem with you. I asked this kid for a 2-minute. I said, give me a 2-minute Daytona 500 deal. He did a 3-minute and 40-second War and Peace highlight package. And it was very good. And all I said to him was, look, I got to tell you, that was a really interesting thing that you did, okay? And I had just about enough time to listen to the whole thing. But you got to figure out a way to edit that down because I asked you for 2 minutes and you gave me 3 minutes and 40 seconds, which is pretty near double 2 minutes. I left the room. I come back in a room. We had stand-up consoles there. I would be in a little glass room. You know that little glass room that was the Marty Broman newsroom little studio thing? You know that, the VNN, and it has like a shared glass, and there's that little glass studio thing?
Yeah, I do a little work in there every morning.
Okay, well, that's how studios are set up normally. I mean, you have a control room. What you would be in is the control room, and then on the other side of the glass, I would be in, that's why I say on the other side of the glass, on the other side of the glass, the talent would be in a small room. With just the phone lines and computers and stuff like that. And the engineer, which is really what you are, the engineer would be on the other side with the board and answering phones or whatever. You know what I mean? So I'm in my little cubby, my little glass room, and I look over into the engineer room, to the control room, and there's nobody there. I'm like, where did... And then all of a sudden I see two hands come up on the board. Two hands, like the thing, you know what I mean? Or like the Addams Family. You don't remember the Adams Family? They got the little hand that kind of runs around all over the place?
Thing, right? That was his name?
Wasn't his name Thing? The Thing or Thing?
I think it was just Thing. I think. I got to double check, but I'm almost positive.
Otherwise known as Ray Dog's girlfriend, but that's another story. Anyway, so Thing.
Thought you were going Danny
Thing,
T that way, but okay.
Yeah. So Thing comes up, and all I see are these hands pushing up the pots. So I say to the call screener, which is another dude, I say to the, it was Crazy Charlie. It was my call screener. And he's in a whole nother room screening. I can't even see Charlie. Charlie's around the corner. So I say to Crazy Charlie, I say, what the hell? What happened? I can't even remember this kid's name. I go, what happened to so-and-so? And he's like, he's behind the thing down low. He can't look at you because he's crying. His face is all red and he's crying. He says, did you yell at him? I said, no, I didn't yell at him. I asked him for a 2-minute, you know, deal. And he gave me four. He gave me three forty. I said, I can't have 340. I need two. No, it wasn't Smokey Mike. Ballman says, you mean you make Smokey Mike cry? Are you kidding me? If I tried to make Smokey Mike cry, he'd punch me in the head. Jeez. Rude Dog says, well done, Big Dog, putting Wolverine Danny in his place. Had the little basketball analogy. I threw that in there. Well, yeah, Michigan football is like Alabama basketball, just trying to get to a decent game. All right, we'll get a break. We'll come back and wrap this hour up next. It's the Tom Abraham Show, 7:30, 103.9 AM.
Sports Radio, The Ump, because we care.
Hello, I'd like to deposit this to checking.
Fate is a fickle master.
What?
The future is uncertain.
Okay, and what's my account balance?
Ah, the horizon is cloudy. I see a long, treacherous voyage filled with great peril.
Look, can I just get a deposit slip or something?
A fortune bank teller. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to GEICO.
I see a yellow-eyed serpent.
What?
And a low APR.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Your parents took care of you. Then, one day, you start caring for them. It's one of those moments when people realize that where you get your medicine matters. And they look to CVS Pharmacy for advice and ways to save money. Plus, you can earn up to 50 extra bucks rewards each year just for filling prescriptions. So join us at CVS Pharmacy. Terms and conditions apply. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other state restrictions apply. See cvs.com/pharmacy rewards or the pharmacy for details.
Have you ever worked at a place where they didn't want you talking about your salary? Actually, have you ever worked anywhere where they did? Unlikely. But don't you have a right to know? If only there were a simple solution. Well, now there is.
How we find jobs has changed. On Indeed.com, our company reviews give you the inside track on thousands of companies. You can research salaries, benefits, company cultures, and more. All on Indeed.com. Search for greatness. Search Indeed, the world's number one job site. Indeed is the world's number one job site according to ComScore total visits.
Hit the road this spring in comfort and style with the RV you've always wanted. From Hall's RV in Albertville. Winners of Retailer of the Year from the Alabama Retail Association. Hall's RV has just what you're looking for. The best deals on quality-built travel trailers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes of all sizes, making every destination feel like home. 256-894-6235. Or stop by Hall's RV today. Highway 431 in Albertville. And online at hallsrvsales.com. Hall's RV. We sell fun.
Hi, I'm Marion Platt, and welcome to Heartbeat. The other day, a friend made the observation that it's amazing that people don't bump into each other while walking because everyone seems to be preoccupied with their cell phone or iPad. I've noticed that on busy city streets, it's rare that anyone looks up anymore. Everyone seems to be preoccupied. Are you one of these people? What preoccupies your mind? Maybe you need to take a break from what you're holding in your hand and look up. There's so much to be seen, so much life to experience. Jesus said that he came to give us life so that we could live it to its fullest. Don't allow yourself to get too busy to enjoy life. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog, Tom Abraham.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in, keep trucking like the doo-dah man. Together, more or less in line, just keep trucking on.
Grateful Dead here. Garrett at the Twitter says, at Tom Abraham Show, please tell me there is a picture of you wearing a Steelers hat waving the terrible Todd. There is. I mean, it's out there. I don't know. I don't know where it would be anymore. It was on the Ump site for a long time. The old Ump site, but there's not even a picture link, I don't think, at the Ump site anymore. Ump Live Podcast, Roll Tide, Braves, contact us, C-Suite Digital, Sweet Deals. So, look, they're out there somewhere. You know who would be able to find it is, like, probably, you know, Jason Marks or something like that. Somebody has copied that picture. But that thing was out there forever. I'm going to just Google it, see if it pops up. I don't like Googling my name. Things come up that I don't like. Not a big fan of it. Read about people criticizing me, saying I'm a blowhard and I suck and all this stuff. I can't handle it. I'm too thin skinned, D-Mac.
That's right. I post that stuff anonymously so it doesn't get traced back to me.
Yeah. Well, I got a crack cyber team here, and they find out that it's coming. It's actually coming from your wife. That's from what I understand.
So. Yeah. See, I didn't want to have to be the one to tell you that either, but she can be a little harsh sometimes when she gets behind a keyboard. So I told her to go anonymous, though, but I'll let her know they traced it back to her so she can start writing hate mail to them.
So I'm leaving Titans practice one day, going along the fence as I go out of Titans practice, and some little kids come over and stuff, and they kids when they're at practice, they want autographs and stuff like that, and they saw I was doing a radio show, and some other people, or a couple of listeners, introduce, oh, these are my kids and whatnot. Oh, can you sign their T-shirt and so on? So, I signed a half dozen, some hats and some stuff, whatever, as I'm leaving practice. And my producer was packing up some of the gear and stuff like that. So he texts his wife that, and this was right after I had gotten there. I'd only been there maybe 6 months. So he texts his, I've been there, probably 4 months, 3 or 4 months. Anyway, he texts his wife, and he's like, man, I can't believe this guy. And, people are asking for an autograph, and he's signing autographs. And he's acting like he's King Bleepity Bleep, and he's so arrogant. And, because I am. I'm an arrogant guy. I'm a cocky guy is what I am, probably more than arrogant. Anyway, only problem is, T-Mac, and he was just a little bit older than you. Only problem is he thought he was texting his wife. He sent the text to me.
Yes.
He sent the text to me. So I get out to the parking lot, and I'm reading this text about me, and he's kind of ripping me to his wife. And see, there was a backstory to it. He was pissed off. He thought he was part of the team that I replaced. There was a three-man team called the Sports Guys, and he was part of the three-man team. So they kept him to be the producer. They fired the other two guys, and they replaced him with me. And it became not the Sports Guys. It became the Tom Abraham Show, and he was just not even sidekick. I mean, how Arky's a co-host? He wasn't even my co-host.
Just along for the ride.
He was somewhere between you and Arky. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Between what Arky is with Cole and what you are with me. So anyway, he was bothered. He thought that he should have got the show. That he should have got it himself. So he had a red ass for me for 6 months. He turned into being one of my best friends. My time that I was there, he turned into being one of my best friends. So it's a good story. The guy I lost the bet to with the Steelers hat and terrible towel was Swede, right there in that studio. Swede, another great guy. He's like another son to me. Another one of all the producers I ever had, he was one of them. And Swede was a young guy, very, very good producer. And he was a huge Steelers fan. So the bet was if the Steelers swept the Browns, if it was a split, I won. But if the Steelers swept the Browns, that I had to wear a Steelers hat and terrible towel and take a picture and have it put on the website. And, of course, the Steelers won because, they always beat the Browns.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Yeah, right. It was a shocker of all shockers. So I took that picture. I had to do that, too, with a guy called Big Ben. I had to wear a Colts jersey. That picture's floating around out there somewhere, too. Buggy says, it ain't cocky if you can back it up. Amen to that, Buggy. All right. Two kind of hours are in the hopper. Well, it is.
Two sort of hours.
Yeah, two sort of hours. I mean, we're at the halfway point. I hate when the show's truncated like this. I don't even know what to say. Why don't I just say this? Coming up in the next hour of the show, we're going to kick it off with Joey Helmer from OU Insider with his take on the most controversial guy in the draft, at least in the first round, Baker Mayfield. We'll get his thoughts next. Talk a little NFL draft right here on 730-1039. Yeah.
Sports Radio 730-1039. The Ump.
Every 2 minutes, a child enters foster care in the United States. More than 23,000 of these youth age out of foster care without anyone to protect them and care for them. You can be the difference for a child or teen in foster care. To learn about fostering or adoption, call SAFY today at 334-270-3181 or visit the website at safy.org. Consider becoming a foster parent, an agent of hope. Log on, safy.org.
Welcome to the Orphan Diaries. Here is the president of Food for Orphans, Gary Van Dyke.
There are 143 million orphans in the world today, and another child becomes an orphan every 2 seconds. Food for Orphans is helping to end that suffering. Every dollar donated provides 2.5 meals, and every $100 will provide a meal to 250 innocent orphans. That's a real demonstration that someone loves them.
For more information, visit www.foodfororphans.org.
Attention all veterans, transitioning service members, and military spouses. Warriors to the Workforce presents in association with Still Serving Veterans, the AUSA Global Force Symposium and Exposition, March 27th at the VBC in Huntsville. Are you looking for a job? Would you like to meet some veteran-friendly companies ready to hire? Would you like to hear and participate in some great discussions about transition? Then come participate in the AFF's nationwide initiative to help veterans find jobs. At the AUSA Global Force Symposium and Exposition, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., March 27th at the VBC. Attendance is free for veterans, military service members, and military spouses. Don't wait. Get your future started now. Register today at warriorstotheworkforcehsv.net. That's warriorstotheworkforcehsv.net.
Picture streams in our community. That's where our kids play and dogs splash. And some of these streams provide the water we drink. But is the water in these streams clean and safe? The truth is, for most local streams, no one knows. That's a problem. One the Isaac Walton League can help you solve with the Clean Water Challenge. For almost 50 years, the Isaac Walton League of America has helped people just like you test the water in local streams, clean up pollution, and protect healthy waters. Today, the Isaac Walton League has an ambitious new goal. Engage volunteers across the country to test 100,000 more streams for pollution. You can protect clean water in our community by joining the Clean Water Challenge. To get involved, visit IWLA.org. That's IWLA.org.
Excuse me. I know you have a 9 o'clock, so I'll keep this short. I'm the business suit in the back of your closet. You wore me nearly every day before your office went, quote, casual. I used to be the CEO of your closet. Now I'm just that one intern no one ever talks to. I always thought you'd circle back with me, get granular, keep me in the pipeline. But nada, nothing. Don't you remember the McKittrick presentation? You spilled coffee on me and I still looked amazing during the breakout talkback Q&A. So, I think it's time for me to move on. I've got a great resume and I absolutely crush it in interviews, okay? Let's make this a clean break. Shift the paradigm. The only thing I ask is that you think outside the box here and do this. Take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Boots on the ground. It's what we say when our soldiers are deployed to protect our freedom abroad. But now the bravest men and women among us need our boots on the ground. Military veterans are twice as likely to fall victim to ALS, the fatal neurodegenerative disease that robs them of the power to use their legs. Hold someone close, eat a solid meal, and simply say, "I love you," before ultimately losing the ability to breathe. Most often, they remain aware and alert to the world around them, as their bodies gradually shut down and die. You don't need to know a veteran with ALS to know it must be stopped, and that those affected need your support. Join the ALS Association.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The